From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, one of the strangest runoffs in Texas, the race for the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate. One candidate is calling for President Obama's impeachment, and the other has a history of making political contributions to Republicans. This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Mistrust of law enforcement on the Texas-Mexico border is hardly rare. The ebb and flow of policing on the border in a post-9/11 world means someone or some group is almost always upset. But in Texas, there's evidence of distrust within law enforcement itself. It involves how intelligence is not shared and how that's causing stress for citizens along the largest section of the U.S.-Mexico border. From Marfa Public Radio, Lauren Madelon reports.
Texas border sheriffs and state police are trying to resolve a major difference of opinion. DPS doesn't tell sheriffs when it sends in extra troopers to conduct border operations. The policy is meant to put a lid on intelligence to seal information leaks before they can spill. But sheriffs say the trust of communities that all law enforcement depends on is compromised when citizens face a suddenly beefed up DPS. Here's the chairman of the Texas Sheriff's Border Coalition, Rick McIver of Jeff Davis County in West Texas.
If DPS comes in and runs a big project, they leave a big burden on the communities.
The coalition's a nonprofit representing 20 borderland sheriffs. It receives state grants as part of the Texas Border Watch program. Yet McIver doesn't get the heads up when state police are about to move in for a surge, which involves mobile checkpoints and increased traffic stops.
And it doesn't take anything but just a regular phone call. I can tell you this, game wardens, they run operations. I know everything in advance, not during, after we were there, always before.
This isn't a matter of law enforcement etiquette. Money's at stake. State police want more money to put more agents on the border, while border sheriffs want that money to bolster their efforts in communities they already work in.
We feel the surges are inappropriate. Why can't we run the surges ourselves instead of having a bunch of people that don't even want to be here to run a surge?
Senator Hager?
Here.
Senator Schwartz?
Present.
In April, a Texas Senate committee heard sheriffs from five border counties. Here's Eusebio Salinas of Zavala County.
When the surges come in, it disrupts the community. It creates mayhem.
Highly visible law enforcement's a given in West Texas. County Judge Paul Hunt's the chief elected official in Presidio County, a border county with very little crime.
This is part and parcel to a pattern that is distorting our lives on the border. We have a border paranoia that is driving unwise law enforcement expenditures.
DPS did not respond to requests for comment, but Hunt says it's unfair to target the agency alone. He says state troopers are part of a mosaic that includes the U.S. Border Patrol and local sheriffs.
All of the law enforcement on the border are tripping over themselves in order to get what they consider an entitlement for law enforcement funds on the border.
DPS funding's a major point of contention in the race for Texas governor. Republican Greg Abbott proposes the hiring of 500 new DPS officers who'd conduct continuous surges. His opponent, Democrat Wendy Davis, says Abbott's proposal is, quote, an affront to the border region. Texas Senator Jose Rodriguez will help shape the next DPS budget.
It makes no sense to me to allocate more state dollars for additional DPS officers to do the kind of patrolling and the kind of law enforcement that our sheriffs and local police departments are already engaged in.
All this is playing out against the backdrop of recent heavy border enforcement by federal agencies. A DEA raid in Texas this month was part of an operation in 29 states known as Synergy 2, while the Border Patrol has just ended Operation Chinati Triangle, a full-court press against undocumented border crossers. I'm Lauren Madelon in Marfa, Texas.
Early voting starts Monday in the primary runoff races. The big race is for the Republican nomination for lieutenant governor. Incumbent David Dewhurst is facing a challenge from State Senator Dan Patrick. Republicans are also working out who will be their nominee for attorney general. The choice is between Dan Branch, a state representative from Dallas, and Ken Paxton, a state senator from McKinney. The Democrats also have a reason to go to the runoff polls. They're looking to settle the nomination for U.S. Senator, who in November will face the incumbent Senator John Cornyn. The choice is between Dr. David Alamil, an immigrant and successful entrepreneur, and Keisha Rogers, a follower of Lyndon LaRouche, and she has repeatedly called for the impeachment of President Barack Obama. We're going to hear from both candidates. First up, Keisha Rogers.
I'm running for the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate because we have a void in leadership and that the Democratic Party has strayed away from the tradition of President Franklin Roosevelt and John F. Kennedy with a commitment to the principles of the forgotten, defending the forgotten men and women of this nation and of this state, and that we're in a dire crisis right now economically. The whole financial system is bankrupt, and I have real solutions to restore the real legacy in Texas of what the Democratic Party represented under this tradition, to bring about real industry, jobs, commitment to scientific progress, and to address the crisis that we confront with the drought and the takedown of real scientific commitment. And so I can go through some of my policies on that, but I think that the Democratic Party has turned its back on that tradition in the interest of wanting to fight for and represent the Wall Street tradition and the Wall Street interest.
So you're running as a Democrat, but you're an outsider Democrat. You're not part of the Democratic establishment that we have seen thus far, right? Is that it?
No. I think that the Democratic Party is in line with the Bush League Republican apparatus in defense of the big bank, big money interest of the Wall Street interest that has turned its back on the real tradition of the Democratic Party.
Right, but the Texas Democratic Party, the organization, they're not supporting you. They are they're encouraging people not to vote for you. They don't see you as part of the Texas establishment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, because you have you've been quoted saying that you are in favor of impeaching President Barack Obama, who's a Democrat, and that's typically not a Democratic point of view.
Well, the question is, first of all, why is the Democratic Party submitting or condoning such impeachable crimes by this president? And this president has continued the policies of the Bush-Cheney administration before him, and he has continued to violate the Constitution, which he took an oath of office to uphold. And my stance is, regardless of whether or not a president is or someone who has taken this oath of office is Republican or Democrat, if they violate that oath of office, they should be impeached. And you look at the crimes. They are very vivid. You have warrantless wiretapping and surveillance against American citizens. The most vivid crime right now is the crime of covering up the assassination and the lies that went into the Benghazi around the assassination of the U.S. ambassador in Benghazi. This crime is being investigated right now, and this president should be impeached. You also have the charges of this president and his administration, namely people like Victoria Nuland, who was a part of the very connected to the Dick Cheney apparatus beforehand, married to a Dick Cheney aide, who was sent over in defense of an overthrow of the sovereign government in Ukraine in support of a Nazi coup. You have the continued crimes of covering up for Dick Cheney's torture policies. And this is what the Democratic Party wants to defend.
So I don't want to get too far down the rabbit hole, but just what would be the impeachable offense for President Obama connected to the tragedy in Benghazi?
Well, the most important thing is that prior to the election, in this past election, presidential election, the president and his administration was involved in lies and a fraud in terms of what the circumstances around Benghazi actually was. And this is why you actually have, I'm calling for the full investigation into what really happened. This is why you actually have a committee that's being formed right now on investigating Benghazi, because there was fraud and cover-up in terms of what actually happened in Benghazi with respect to the murder of Chris Stevens, U.S. ambassador, and others there.
And that's a law that was broken? A law was broken?
Well, that's what we need to investigate.
Okay. So let's get back to your policies. So you say we're in dire economic times and you have policies that would fix that. What would those be?
Well, first of all, what we need to do is we need to shut down the Wall Street bail-in, bail-out policy. We have to have a full commitment to restoring the FDR, Franklin Roosevelt, Glass-Steagall banking reorganization. And secondly, once we restore Glass-Steagall, which was the separation of Wall Street investment banking from commercial banking, then we need to immediately implement a credit program modeled on the tradition of our first Treasury Secretary, Alexander Hamilton. My call is we need a long-term credit to invest in large-scale infrastructure projects, science driver projects, with the full unleashing of human progress in commitment to our space program and fully funding our NASA manned space program. We have to actually shut down the anti-science radical green environmental agenda. And that means that once we do that, we can actually commit ourselves in this nation again to solving the challenges economically of how we're going to feed our population, how we're going to organize around creating productive jobs. We need millions of productive jobs in scientific development, industry, agriculture, and so forth. And we're losing that right now. The state of Texas is facing the worst drought in some time now. And this drought is not being brought on by policy of man-made global warming, climate change. This drought is being brought on, one, by the insane policy or commitment to fracking or hydraulic fracturing, which must be stopped now because this is not an economic boom. It's a strategy for doom. It's a strategy that is a net loss in energy efficiency. We have to go with the full commitment to thermonuclear fusion power. We need to unleash the understanding in our space program of how we're going to look at what the cause of this water crisis and drought is, looking at the relationship of our Earth-Sun relations, what's happening with the activity of the sun. So these are questions that need to be addressed. And the questions will only be addressed and the problems will only be solved with a full science driver mission orientation in our country again. And that's why we have to crush the Wall Street interest of continuing to loot and pillage the population with their bail-in policy and restore a commitment toward how we're going to actually solve this economic collapse.
So you're running against David Alamil for the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate. How do you compare your candidacy to his and his policies that he's proposing?
Mr. Alamil should not be a candidate. He has what Mr. Alamil represents. The question people should be asking right now is, why is the Democratic Party getting behind someone who has continued to cover up and lie about what he really represents and has come out? The question of, why would you have someone representing the party who has touted themselves and promoted themselves in defense of women's rights, but then goes and condones sexual harassment by his chief financial officer in his dental clinics prior to selling them to hedge funds to make millions of dollars? Which his chief financial officer probably had a big hand in helping him to make those millions with those sales. You know, this could also tell people about something about Mr. Alamil's phony anti-Wall Street rhetoric. And I think that the Democratic Party has put their support behind real damaged goods here. And I have, as I said before, I'm reestablishing the true principles of the Democratic Party in the tradition of Franklin Roosevelt and John F. Kennedy, in defense of the people, in defense of the forgotten men and women of this nation and of this state. So the Democratic Party has continued to condone the interest of the of being on the Bush plantation and the Wall Street control, and I'm calling to put a stop to that. And my opponent represents that attack on our state's interest and our national interest by supporting such policies.
The Democratic Party would be motivated by trying to find the best candidate that would take on the Republican incumbent, Senator John Cornyn. Why would you be the better candidate to face John Cornyn in the general election?
As I said, I have the solutions to what is required to get us out of this economic and financial crisis. I have a commitment to making sure that Texas can once again be a leader in scientific and economic progress. John Cornyn has done nothing to represent this state.
Keisha Rogers is in the Democratic Party's runoff race for the U.S. Senate nomination. Early voting starts Monday. And you're listening to Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. Next, we're going to hear from the other candidate in the race for the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate, Dr. David Alamil.
I'm running for the U.S. Senate because I'm worried about our middle class. I'm passionate about the working family. And I see John Cornyn shipping all of our manufacturing jobs overseas. I see him taking trillions of dollars of our tax money and giving it to Wall Street while our people are suffering lack of education, lack of opportunity, lack of infrastructure. And I think it's time to put America first, put our families back to work. I care about immigration. I care about women's rights. I care about our trade and manufacturing. And I think it's time for change because John Cornyn has been on our tax dime for almost 30 years. He never had a job. He never had to create business, never had to meet payroll. All he's in it for himself. He's a double-talking career politician who rants about Texas values while 50 million of our American fellow citizens are without jobs. So I think it's time for change. We need somebody that's in it for our country. Somebody who wants to do something about opportunity for the working middle class.
So, Dr. Mill, you have a fascinating biography. You came to the United States as an immigrant, and you've managed to capture the American dream. You become a multimillionaire through your hard work and ingenuity. Can you tell us about how you did that? Tell us about your journey.
I came to America when I was 20 years old. I'm 63 now. I had $120 in my pocket. I started working in gas stations, and I then worked in the fields of California, picking strawberries and chilies. I was very poor. I met my wife, Martha, 42 years ago. We've been married ever since. We were very poor and struggled from month to month to make ends meet. And then I joined the military, and I was stationed in San Antonio for 3 years. At a time when John Cornyn was going to college, he refused to serve in the military. I served in the military and went to school full time. I then moved to Dallas with my wife. We opened a small office in the Latino area. We became very successful. As the Latino community grew, we opened more clinics. And 30 years later, we had 26 clinics grossing over $50 million a year. We've been very involved with the community, with scholarships, services, back-to-school programs, senior citizens activities. And over time, I've seen many problems that plaguing the Latino community, working class, the poor are getting poorer, the middle class is disappearing, inequality is the highest since the Great Depression. And over the years, I had to learn how to fight for those issues. Over the years, I had to learn economics and finance. I've been in the healthcare business all my life. I've been involved in foreign policy. And for somebody that started in the fields of California, it's been very hard. So I had to fight very hard in my life. I had to fight to get my education. I had to fight cancer. I had to fight over many issues that, you know, the working family are suffering from today. And I remember how it is to be poor. I'm a devout Catholic, and I think our job in life is to help others, not to be selfish. And I see the Republicans doing exactly what the Wall Street and big corporations want them to do, and all they care about is their factories in China. And I think, as an American, I would like to put our country first. I believe that it's time to put our own families back to work. And as somebody who knows what entrepreneurship is, I know I can do that. And I know that we need somebody who actually wants to do something, want to serve, and is not in it to have a job.
So you're originally from Lebanon, is that right?
Yes, my parents are Lebanese Christians, but I was born in Israel. When I was 14, they moved to Lebanon. I lived there for 6 years. And when I was 20, I moved to this country. And I've been here for 43 years.
And your wife, Martha, from Zacatecas, Mexico?
Her family are from Zacatecas, Mexico. She was born in Santa Barbara, California, but she moved back with her parents to Zacatecas when she was 2 years old. And she grew up over there. And then she came back here when she was 13. Half of her family, brothers and sister, were born here. The other half in Mexico. So we understand exactly what it's like to fight immigration issues. And she's like me, very devout Catholic, and she cares very much about helping the community.
What about immigration reform? If you get elected to Senate, you would have an opportunity to try to guide that. What do you think should happen with immigration reform?
I believe that it was the Republican Party who encouraged the migration to flow from Mexico to the United States in the early 80s. Because we needed it for the boom. That's why Reagan gave them amnesty, and they helped us build America. They helped us build our military. And I believe that there are many, many millions of people here without papers who've been here 20, 30 years, who are settled here, who have children. Actually, many of them have grandchildren, and they don't know any other country but this country. I believe all those people who are hardworking, law-abiding people deserve a fair chance to have a path to citizenship, and I'm going to fight very, very hard to help them get it.
You've mentioned that you are a devout Catholic, as is your wife. How does that weigh into being pro-choice, pro-life? How do you stand on the abortion issue?
Well, my wife and I are devout Catholic, and in my family, I don't believe in abortion, but we also respect other women to make their own personal choices. That's because the Constitution gives the right to women, as the Supreme Court ruled decades ago. And I'm willing to defend the right for everybody to make their own decisions. But in my family, we do not believe in abortion. And I'm glad that we had the choice to do it. And I will defend everybody else's choice to do that.
As you became a successful businessman, a multimillionaire, opening up multiple dental clinics, you've also gave generously to political campaigns, sometimes to Republican campaigns, even to Senator John Cornyn, who would be your opponent if you win this runoff election. Some people question that as that would be difficult for you to run against a man that one time you donated to his campaign.
Actually, the opposite is true. I started being an activist since 1985. I was the chairman of the American Lebanese League, it's a national organization. We used to go to Washington and speak on behalf of the Christian refugees in Lebanon. I worked very hard to speak on behalf of many Christians who are being persecuted in the Middle East. And I also worked very hard to increase awareness how important Israel is as an ally in the Middle East. And I did that with both parties. I was very involved since the late 80s. Since the late 90s with Democratic Party. And I worked very, very hard with the Clinton administration. I worked very hard with the senatorial committee, with the DCCC. I work very, very hard with the Texas Democratic Party. I haven't done anything with the Republicans because although we all thought at one time we could work with the Republican Party, it became very obvious that they have become too extreme and they don't want to solve our country's problem. And I have not really had any dealings with the Republicans in 2008. And since then, I became one of the top Democratic donors in the country. And I'm still just as passionate about the same issue that I was always passionate about. But I know that only Democratic Party care about the working family. It's become very clear that the Republican Party, with the advent of the Tea Party, they do not care about our education. They no longer care about whether America is the premier economy of the world, the premier power in the world. We are not. We're being outdone by a country like China, who 30 years ago were made out of rice farms, and now they're producing everything under the sun, and all of our manufacturing jobs are gone. So if we are to make a difference and rebuild the middle class, we need to start making policies that benefit all American families, not just big corporations on Wall Street. And I'm very, very happy to run against Cornyn or anybody else when it's time to put our country first. I really don't care who's running again. I care about whether they want to help America become great again or they're just in it for themselves.
Before the Democratic nominee can face John Cornyn, they've got to win this runoff, and you have an opponent, Keisha Rogers. Why would someone vote for you over Keisha Rogers?
Well, that's a no-brainer, actually. Keisha Rogers, on platform, makes her non-credible. She's running as a Democrat, but her platform is from the Tea Party. She's walking around Texas holding a big poster with our president having a Hitler mustache. She wants to impeach him. We've always agreed that no matter who occupies the White House, Democrat or Republican, that we respect the president because of the sacred office that they occupy. And it is un-American to call our president Hitler, no matter which party they belong to. And I do not respect her when she defame the highest office of the land.
Do you think that she's not a real Democrat? Is that what you're saying? You said that she's a Tea Partier?
Yeah, I mean, she campaigns with Tea Party activists. She goes to all the Tea Party events, and they cheer her on. She is somebody that has been disowned by the Democratic Party. They all decided to vote across Texas that she's not a real Democrat and nobody should vote for her, and I agree.
Dr. David Alamil is a candidate in the Texas Democratic Party's runoff race for the U.S. Senate nomination. Early voting starts Monday. Election Day is May 27th. Earlier, we heard from his opponent in the race, Keisha Rogers. And that's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can write to us with an email to texasmatters@tpr.org. And you can write directly on the show page on our website at tpr.org. And that's where you can find past Texas Matters programs to listen to. And you can find us on iTunes. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.